Today on Man Calls the Heart, we talk about honesty, democracy, and the railroad. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hearties. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the When Calls the Heart After Show, Season 4, Episode 2, Heart of Truth. We are all together.
We are all together. Oh my God, this is crazy talk.
I'm so excited because, all right, hearties, we haven't been together in the same room since, what, October?
Oh my God, yes, that's
right. It's
been 4 years. Because you guys have been together and I was Skyped.
Yes.
And we've been together and
you're Skyped.
All three of us,
all three of us physically haven't been in the same room
since
October.
That's crazy.
That's not okay.
It's not okay. Welcome back.
Welcome, hearties. We are back. Yes. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Joining me, I have...
Hi, I'm back. I exist. I am Maria Provenzano. You can find me at Maria Provenzano, and all of my information will be there. Hi, hearties. I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you, too. I'm James Lott Jr., and you can follow me at James Lott Jr. all over the social media platforms.
Everywhere in the world.
We're very excited for this episode, obviously.
Yes, there's a lot to talk about.
But before we start talking, James, I believe you have something.
Yes, okay, so just two quick things, you guys. First, we want to tell you to all the new viewers and new listeners, welcome. Welcome to our after show. We're here every Monday. Mm-hmm. You can listen to our last season. You can listen to on our iTunes and YouTube pages on AfterBuzz. You can listen to those if you want to just go back and look at that. But we're so glad you're joining us. I just want to tell you that one of the things that we do here, The goal for us is we all watch the show because we're all part of the same Hardy Village, and then we discuss it and we talk about our opinions and what we see, what we think, and we want your opinions also. That's why the live chat is open. I see you guys in there, and also tweeting us later, and also you can talk to us on the YouTube channel page. But we are here to give our opinions and what we kind of see in the show. We love doing this.
We do love doing this, and we love you, Hardys. And it's a positive space for all of us to get together and geek out about a show that we all love.
Exactly. Yes. And a shout out to the South Texas Hardys. I FaceTime with them on the 25th on Saturday for about half an hour. Yvonne Burnham Davila was the one who set it up with me. I talked to Becca Hill and all the nice folks there.
Aww.
They're at a restaurant in San Antonio. Aww. And they're going to take me horseback riding and shooting.
Oh my gosh. I can't go there. Wow. I don't want to shoot something, but I want to shoot.
Yeah, me too.
something that's not alive.
Me too. And so I want to do that. So, but I want to say thank you, guys. They're in the San Antonio, kind of South Texas area. You can find them. And I had a great time with you guys. So thank you so much. Okay. And now we have me and Marissa have a present to give. Maria.
I'm like scared about this.
Because
no, you should be excited about
it. Okay, hearties. Every hearty that went to the Hearties Family Union 2 got one of these. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to make sure that she got one too because she could not make it. And you get your own hearty bag with goodies.
So, Hardy's tote bag.
I'm gonna cry.
That's for you.
I think you're already on the verge of tears. This is really exciting. So, for all the listeners, Hardy's water bottle.
Hardy's water bottle.
Hardy's merch.
Oh my goodness.
Straight at that TV behind you.
You guys. This is all
Hardy
so
journal.
Legit. A Hardy journal.
No, there's some good stuff. The journal. I used the journal all the time.
I was really sad. See, and I'm drinking mine. James had a Hardy mug and I didn't.
Drink your mine.
You guys.
I don't have my Hardy mug on me.
I decided I'm going to bring it every Monday. I'm going to bring my Hardy mug on me every Monday.
There you go. Work it.
What is this?
It's Kleenex.
Kleenex.
There's some great stuff. That journal's the bomb. And I use the journal myself. I use it all the time.
You guys.
So you get because you weren't able to make it, so we went. You got one too.
God, I love you all so much.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much.
That traveled back through my luggage through Vancouver. I'm glad you got it.
I love it. I am impressed with this.
It's
like a leather-bound book.
Well, we also presented one to Aaron at Home and Family.
Yes,
remember
we did.
We signed on it. So
it's
a really nice book. It's a nice book.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh, I will use this. Thank you.
It's a very nice journal.
Of course.
Yes, but
yes, folks, we have each other's backs because we're friends in real life. We're hearties.
And we're finally together.
We're finally together.
I'm about to cry because we're finally together.
You know I have an old Italian bag like
this. Yeah, I know. You are. It'll be perfect.
I love that.
It's so true when it comes to production. Like, once we're off season and on hiatus, we just go our separate ways.
Yes.
Like, so true to the industry. But we're together again.
We do still
together.
I was just with Marissa the other night.
Heart of Truth. I know. I can't stop seeing this guy. Just everywhere. Heart of Truth.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
Thoughts. Maria, we haven't heard from you in a
month. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so one of my, you know, we always try to look at the overall themes and what sticks with us. And something that actually, because, you know, I thought Rosemary had a decently big, you know, role in this yes. episode.
She did.
And finding value in what you do, and that really is, it was, you know, her finding value in being a wife, and then not getting that in return, because, you know, when you're a stay-at-home mom, even though she's not a mom, but right. staying home and not, there's, you're, when you're not getting a paycheck, mm-hmm. it's hard to find, like, an actual, there's no price on what you are, so... It was interesting to me. She was trying to find value in what she does. And then Elizabeth, with, you know, getting her book published, you feel devalued from not, you know, getting the response that you want. And everybody, I feel like everybody in their, in terms of their career or just in, like, their life, you look at the railroad and the farmer, everybody, it was about finding value in what you do. Is that was, for me, the overall thing that stuck with me.
Yeah, it's great, James.
Now, for me, and this is all the male hardies out there. We need more male hardies. I've been talking to some of you guys. If there are male hardies out there, talk to me at James Lott Jr. I want to talk to you because we're out there. For me, I think there's something for men to relate to, because this episode, for me, was very much about expansion and at what cost.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much now, I can relate to, we'll go deeper into this, but yeah. I'll give you some examples later. But for me, it was about expansion. What does that mean for a town? What does that mean for each individual person? Abigail is mayor, and the cafe, and it also spills into Lee and Rosemary, because Lee now has a contract with it. Like, it's like, wow, this is so real and relevant today.
Yes. Yeah.
Marissa, what do you think?
I agree. I love the moral lessons that we found in this episode, you know, the themes of honesty and having the guilty conscience and actually doing something, doing good and doing right afterwards. And we'll definitely get into all of it. And just the sense of community once again in the show. We saw it with Abigail and the voting and all that. So there was just so many good things individually. Put it all together.
Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and you guys on here in the chat room, I see you guys. I see Emily and Janet and Laura McKinney and iHeartKnit and Kelly Fogg. We need some great people. Yeah, DRB 4448. Lisa Gupton, I guess, of course. Okay, here's a question I have for you guys. Is it me, or is this season they really packing in the storylines?
Yes.
Like,
oh,
there's a lot of storylines going on right now. There's a lot of characters getting airtime.
Yeah. It wasn't just like a light. Both episodes were not just like, we're going to gradually like dip our toes in. They've both been like towards the end of the season type episodes.
Yeah. I mean, they're serious. I was like, I feel like I'm writing down a lot more just because it's like there's a lot to like to talk about.
There's a lot to dissect, definitely. And even my notes are like, whoa, hello.
I got my note cards, you guys. My note cards.
Yeah, I just have mine on my iPad.
You're so modern. You're so modern.
Concise. Yes. All right, let's get to it. We'll definitely get into cover everybody. Yes. Let's start with Jesse.
Well, you know how I feel about Jesse.
I had to bring up Jesse before you did, James.
You know how I feel.
Jesse, he's getting a new job from Lee. He offers him a new job. What were your thoughts of Jesse and how he approached this new job and new opportunity?
Well, I think it was a lesson that he learned. I think it was done so beautifully, because I think being a young, determined person, generally, you want to go straight to the top, and you don't want to, you know, put the hours and the legwork and all of that in. Yeah. And he just, you know, showed that he really is determined and driven, but he's, you know, he got caught, obviously. But I just think it's such a good lesson for kids. You have to kind of you got to work your way from the bottom to the top. And that's what Lee said to him.
It's so realistic to me. His role in this role is so realistic. Because it's like, it's what kids do. It's like, he was like, I'll play it off and say, yeah, you want me to have management. And again, a lie. Obviously a lie.
Yeah.
And the same theme. But he got caught, of course. I love when he got caught. It was kind of funny. But the scene that really I like, and I think they're showing some redemption for him. I saw people tweeting about it. Was when he was talking to Clara. And he was asking her, what do you want to do?
Like, King classy.
It's like, I'm happy. But it's like, but saying that, I just thought it was great that he was kind of like, but no, I have dreams, and don't you have dreams
and
too?
You should too. And,
right. It was like, it was encouraging. He's like, I can't do anything. It was like, no, they won't be the cafe all the time. I thought it was a really sweet scene, but it also shows his earnestness, like you were saying. It still shows his earnestness.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts of this team classy moment and she initiating the kiss?
I was shocked.
Okay. I had like teenage butterflies watching this.
Yes.
I thought the acting was really great in that moment.
Yeah.
I agree. I think we need a young couple. We already have the couples of age. They're like my age. And we have like Jack and Elizabeth who are of a certain age. They're not old, but they're a certain age also. We need somebody from that young, like, you know, early 20s time period. And I think they fill that void. I think we need them.
I think it's sweet.
I think it definitely spans the age range within. I think it's good, though, because it shows just how far they've come from last season.
Yes.
And that Jesse is probably maturing a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I still say be wary, Clara.
Well, he hasn't. Well, he's not. He hasn't grown up fully yet. We see how he did that. But he, he has potential.
Yes, definitely. I'm not saying he doesn't have potential. I'm just saying he's still in that phase of immaturity. But you can definitely see it with his job, his new job. He still has a lot of growing up to do.
Yes, he does.
But at least he knows, he's aware of his flaws and he's working on them. So I will give him that.
Cleo and Josie Official say, I like Clara and Jesse. Just have to make sure Jesse's okay for her.
Exactly.
So he's like a mother. He's like a mother. Make sure they're okay.
I'm worried for Clara. I'm just looking out for her.
I love it. Don't
get your heart broken by a man.
But you know what? Heartbreaks, I will say, even though they hurt really bad, heartbreaks are the best lessons you can go through.
I know.
They suck, but they are the best things. And in retrospect, you look back and your heart has been broken, it really challenges your strength.
It's true.
Everybody's like, Marissa would agree with you. And Nancy Kelsey's like, this person needs to be cautious.
Yes.
I say go for it, sister.
Me too. Just do it.
I'm not
just
saying don't go for it. I'm saying be cautious. All right. Anything else about Jesse? Other than the fact that he got humbled by Lee. Yes. He checked him. Yes.
Way to go,
Lee.
He'll be unlocking.
Start from the bottom.
Yes.
Now we're here.
From the bottom.
She did it. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Screaming in the mic, you guys. It's like, I'm sorry. It's
Maria
like between the
back,
presents, you guys, and all of that. I need to, find my indoor voice. I'm a toddler a lot.
We're very excited, obviously. All right. Rosemary and Lee. Rosemary's having some hard times being by herself. And what were your thoughts of Bill offering her a job at the cafe, trying to maybe find herself a little bit?
I loved Bill in this episode. And I've always liked him, but I feel I've grown to like him more and more and more. And because he has this harsh,
he's the anti-hero.
Yes, and I love that.
Yeah.
And but I thought that moment was so great because what did I have in my notes? But he about who he wanted her to leave, and she was going to talk. And it was just the whole that moment. He basically wanted her out. And then he's like, all men want to fix things right away. That's their go-to.
That's what we do. That's what
Instead
we do.
Instead of just listening.
We're fixers. No, seriously, we are.
That's what Elizabeth said about
Jack. She did say that. I was going to mention
I wrote
that down.
Exactly. Yes. But just listen. Maybe just listen and be a friend. But then he put himself in that situation and, oh, God, I'm getting text messages on my phone. I'm sorry. I'm totally ADD. Oh, my God. You guys have to understand. This is what happens when you have children. And my husband's responsible for picking him up from school. And then, I get a text. I'm so sorry.
They understand. They're all mothers.
Yes, thank you. But anyways, with Rosemary, I don't know. I think for her, I don't think the work at the restaurant actually taught her anything. It just gave her leverage to get a typewriter and
And the fact she wasn't even really working. She would just sit in there, and they're like, Bill, can you take this cake out of it? And she'd just sit in there doing her column.
Rosemary, she's still very polarized. And I see online, people are just even in the chat, some people are just they still don't like her. Some people love her. It's so funny how her character really does create all this kind of stuff, which is great. She's doing a great job.
That's what she's there for.
And Pascal said it. She knows. I like that this season so far, they've been pairing different people up in scenes. I like that. They're showing the town is not just the same four or five characters, couples, but they're showing different people talking different. I love it. I thought Rosemary talking to Bill, that whole thing was great.
It's like the unlikely pairings that we get.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, we still got the Elizabeth and Abigail talk. We still got it. Those are good too, but I'm just saying I like the different, kind of they're moving them around a little bit.
Yeah, I like that too.
It's a town. I mean,
what did you think of her subtle but not so subtle way of talking to Lee and being worried that women unite.
That's hilarious.
Those husbands unite.
Wives of overworked husbands unite.
That I thought was actually comical.
It was comical. It was comical because his reaction was very kind of oh my God, she's getting a life without me, and I don't like that, And his whole thing at the end was very cute. I thought it was very they love each other. They do love each other.
They do.
Yeah.
I thought it was very sweet how Lee reacted to it because he could have reacted in a very negative way. It's why, or someone who kind of loses his patience with her. But the fact that, he realizes what is not happening within the relationship, he needs to actually take some time and focus on her.
Which is relevant, which is like today. That's like today. If you're in a relationship and you're busy, a lot of us are busy trying to balance that. Yeah. It's still hard today. Like, yeah, it's still a hard thing today. And back then, again, with the larger theme of expansion and the railroad coming and creating all these jobs and opportunities, that's so relevant today. It's like, you start getting new stuff. That means you're going to be more busy doing that. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with your personal relationships?
Except now we get text messages on our iPad. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to be on it. Like, jeez.
And those days, it's like you have to wait days on end to even get a word or message out.
Right.
Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine?
It was like when we did our book circle online for all of the When Call the Heart Heart books.
Yes. Yeah.
I just think about that, how as a wife, a mother, I would be so nervous being away from my significant other and not knowing where they're at or when they're going to come back.
I was raising children that are around your age, and I remember I had a pager.
Oh, I had a pager.
So the babysitter would have to page me. I had to find a phone, because there was no cell phone yet, to call check on my daughter. Like, it was like, nowadays, can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, or anything, or if I had to reach Marissa, I would call a phone, and then the phone would be busy, or I have to do a mess on the answer machine. Like, I had to do that for years. It was like,
we're so spoiled with technology. Goodness. Goodness. But I like the fact that, you know, they're very cute together.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. They're very cute
and
together.
And they're working on their relationship. I loved her breakdown in the cafe, though.
I know.
It was like, you can't help but feel sorry for her.
Yes.
I know.
But it was still, in a way, very comedic.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Everyone else has problems except for me.
I know, she's like...
everyone else is fine, but no, here's the line. No one in town is having any problems except for me.
Aww.
And people, of course, love that when she grabbed the paper out of the guy's hands. It was like, you want to read it? You like the paper, don't you? And it was kind of she's still comical, but they are infusing serious... I mean, she's actually bringing up some serious themes.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yes. Yeah. We got some serious themes tonight, definitely. Let's get to Elizabeth, shall we?
Yeah.
Gotta love Elizabeth. She's waiting for... Because we saw in the finale of season 3, she sent out her stories on the frontier out to publishers. She hasn't heard word back yet. But what are your thoughts of this publishing, the fact that she got a rejection letter?
Normal, right? We're in this business. We're all in this business.
I'm like, so that's just like a typical day.
Yeah.
She sent it to six people.
Only six people. I know.
Half a dozen.
Was it half a dozen?
Yeah,
half a dozen.
She sent it to six people.
I think maybe, you know, we're a little delusional because of the work we have. Sure. I mean, but I think, you know, rejection is the same as heartbreak. I think they're all really good lessons, really good life lessons. And they make you stronger, thicker. I think, you know, they make your skin thicker. And I just think Elizabeth, coming from, you know, when she was all, like, prim and polished and then came to a town that really made an honest woman out of her. And I think that she's never going to not have these challenges. She's challenging herself. I think if you put yourself out there, you have the risk of getting hurt. And that is in relationships, that's in career, that's in everything.
It's in everything, yeah.
For me, again, the male side of things, I thought it was a very realistic scene where her and Jack having dinner but not really saying anything. Because he has that whole... We'll talk about that later. His whole thing on his mind. She has her thing on her mind, but she pulls out, like, I want you to open this for me. They were together, which was cute. And how he really just wanted to support her. And it's like... And us guys, a lot of times, that's all we want to do. It's like, what can we do for you? Like, what can we... Again, we are fixers.
Yes.
And I like what she says later. To Abigail, I didn't want him to fix it. I just wanted him to listen.
How many times have I heard that?
Exactly. Like, how many times have I heard that one? As men, we're very much like, we'll just handle it. We'll do this and do this, and that's it. Where she just really wanted to have some support, even though he was supporting her, and she got that he was supporting her.
Yeah.
It was a really cute, realistic scene, I thought.
I think it's realistic because you got to remember, like, most men, and not all, definitely not all.
Yeah, not all.
But, most men don't know how to react emotionally or, like, how to give proper emotional support.
That.
Well, and it's not even that. I just think men and women react differently to things. And that's not even a men and women thing. It's just some people in general. But generally speaking, in all of the relationships I've been in, that is the difference between men and women. I will say, generally speaking, like my dad, my husband, any relationship, their first reaction is, okay, well, what do you do to fix it? And sometimes women who are more emotion-based just want to, I'm going to talk about it. And then she, you know, because he kept trying to fix it, she didn't want to talk about it anymore. But let it just sit for a minute.
Yeah, she talked about it with Abigail.
Which is smart. The best friend. Yeah. The best friend. You talk to your girlfriend about it.
Emotional support.
Exactly. But I think men just, we have to be taught it. We don't, a lot of women, but seriously, I think women, you know, I've been around a long time, almost 50 years, and women are naturally intuitive, naturally, you're the nurturers, you're the mothers of the earth. I think for men, we can be emotional, not saying there's not emotional men out there, but we have to kind of, I had to learn it. I cry all the time now, you guys know I cry all the time. But I had to learn it, and I think Jack's a Mountie. He's in a position of, like, you take care of stuff, and I love you, and I just want to handle it, which we'll talk about what he did, of course. To handle it.
I want to talk about it now.
Right now.
We see Jack throughout at the beginning of the episode getting watercolors, and we know he's an artist. Like,
I forgot about that at first.
I forgot about
me
that.
Me too.
I was like, what's
oh,
he
that's
doing?
Right. Took me a second, because was that first season or whatever? It just took me a while. I was like, oh, okay.
He's a painter. And he publishes a book for Elizabeth with all of her stories.
I cried.
Oh my goodness. How great
tears.
Was that? How romantic is that?
I wish somebody make a book of my stuff.
Who does that?
Me too.
Make a book of it. I cried. And I did. I got a little teary-eyed. I was like, I just sat there. I was like, oh, God bless America.
It's perfect.
It was perfect.
So are you.
It was perfect. I know. I loved it. You said it to her. I loved it.
It was beautiful. And I actually, it was very, as a viewer, in my opinion, it was very unexpected.
Yes.
Even though I saw that he got the paints and things, I was like, I don't know what he's doing. And
same
then I kind
thing.
Of forgot about it, to be honest. So it was. I loved that unexpected surprise that, as a viewer, we got that at the same time she did.
A lot of kissing this episode, too.
Yeah, there were a few kisses.
I mean, because a lot of episodes, just times we won't even have a kiss on the show. There was like 3 or 4 this time.
Yeah, from different people.
Different people. Is that interesting?
I thought it was just such a romantic gesture. I wish it was a ring, but I'll take it for now.
Well, we're leading to that. Like, he's giving her other gestures. It's almost, he's saying he loves her, basically. Who wrote the book?
Who publishes a book?
I know.
Actually handwrites it.
I know.
And watercolor painting.
I know.
Like, what?
I know.
I'm just baffled.
I love
it. Be still my heart.
I loved it.
And to quote Bob Ross, you know, the amazing painter.
Bob
Ross. Like, if anything, painting just creates happiness.
I paint, so I love painting.
I love to paint. I just painted a hamper.
Was really? Okay.
I actually
paint. I have art. I want to have an art show one day.
I paint, too. I went to art school. All
right. We're just going to do everything. Okay.
We're all artists.
We're all artists.
A great creative outlet at any age.
Yes, I agree.
It is.
It really is.
I mean, and it looked gorgeous. And
Emily Johnson's like, and that cover was legit. It was a nice cover.
Yeah, it was.
It was like embossed and everything. It was really nice.
That's why I thought he actually somehow was bringing her a book that was public. I mean, I was like, what? Wait, I'm confused. And then I saw the pictures. And then she said, did all the pictures. I was like, oh.
I would love to read that book.
Me too.
I wonder if it's actually out.
We should ask Aaron.
Well, here's what's funny, because some soaps, the character actually writes a book on the soap, they release it in real life.
Mm.
But as the character's name. They do that.
Short stories on the frontier. I'd read it.
I'd read it.
Short stories are great.
We could do an after show for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we read all the books for almost all. How many more do we have?
Maybe 2 more.
Oh, we only have 2 more?
We have 2 more.
Oh.
Of that series.
Of One Calls the Hard Park.
Okay.
But that's another show. Okay. So let's get to Robert. Robert learns a very valuable life lesson.
Another great kid storyline. Another great kid storyline. I love this kid. These kids are just like, they can act their stuff off.
He's the class monitor. He has to get all the kids back in after recess. But unfortunately, Opal's like sticking around, not really listening. And he tells this lie that there is a bear. He scares it off just to get Opal back into the school. First of all, that's just mean. Second of all, what were your reactions of him like telling such a lie and like letting it play out throughout the whole episode?
Well, I think it's a realistic look at life and children, and I think people do become scared to tell the truth. And I mean, it was something that my mom always said to me growing up: if you tell the truth, you won't get in trouble. Like you're better off being honest and having the repercussions of that, because it's always worse if you find out that it's a lie. My mom always said that to me, and I always remembered that. And I say, now my son's 3 and a half, and, you know, he will try to, oh, I didn't, you know, put that there, I didn't drop this, and I always say that to him now. And I watched this episode, and I'm like, I'm going to read him The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Right.
I thought that for Elizabeth, as, you know, to teach a child, I thought that was such a brilliant way to get in his head. So it was just those little, like, steps, but I thought it was very realistic to life that children go through.
I wish Elizabeth was my teacher. That's number one. Number two, again, I'm feeling very male today. I'm the male, so I'm feeling my testosterone today.
I feel it.
I do. I feel it today. And I feel like, again, this was a great episode because the men tried to help the men of the village. Basically, Bill talked to him, shared a story.
Oh, that was great.
Jack was there. I mean, it was like there's. I kind of like that he learned a lesson ultimately from. He learned it from all of them, basically.
Yeah.
And even Jack said to Elizabeth, "You were right," because he came to Elizabeth and actually told. But it was just kind of the men were involved, and it's again. They're good with the children. It's like, it's, you know, when I was growing up, you know, any adult talks to you, you listen to them. That's what you do, right? So I kind of like that this was showing that he's a child of the village, basically.
Yeah.
And he was taught a lesson between all of them. All the adults taught him this lesson.
I kind of liked how he did it on his own. Yeah, he got pushed a little bit here and there by, you know, the adults. But ultimately, at the end, it was him that came out with the truth.
Yes, I agree.
And he did the right thing by returning the money back to Opal's parents. We saw Opal's parents.
I know.
I know.
It's great.
Look at them. But
that
also, I liked that it spilled over to Cody.
Yeah.
And how and naturally he would feel like, well, am I? Okay, so I cried at this part too. Okay, I'm just going to admit it right now. When he says to Abigail, "You're my hero," because he felt bad.
That's a
I know. I cried on that one too. I got all teared up. Oh my
God.
You know
what it's like
so,
being a parent?
Well, I called my daughter afterwards. That's an episode. I talked to her for an hour today. She's like, "Why are you calling me, Daddy?" I'm like, "I love you so much, daughter. You're everything to me." And I'm like, "Put the grandchildren on the phone." I like that it spilled over to him, and I liked when he and Cody had a talk.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a realistic kid talk, and he was getting all scared. He was like, "I'm going to go to jail." And it's such a kid thing.
I love that.
It's such a kid. I mean, the kid actors are so good.
I thought they were really great in this episode. Cody keeps getting better.
Yeah, Cardi.
And Laura.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah, Laura's good. And Opal's always cutesy, of course.
She's so cute.
But she wouldn't listen to him. She wouldn't go inside.
Well, hey, girlfriend has some plans of her own.
Yes, with her bear. She was busy.
I mean, Brownie is a lot of maintenance. But I liked the acting from the kids. They're always great. We say it every episode. They're just amazing. And it's such a good, strong moral lesson for the kids, but also like make the adults reflect on, hey, they used to be kids, especially when we got Bill's story.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was, everything was just so true to life.
But I also love, especially being true to life, I love that the adults kind of were smirking and laughing when Robert was kind of coming clean. It's like, it's such a parent moment for me. Like, you know, we do it with my grandkids all the time. Like, they'll do something, and we're like, don't laugh, like, hold it in,
so
they leave. Because kids are, you're a son who is a personality. The kids are hilarious.
Yes.
Sometimes. And you can't laugh. You gotta discipline them. You can't laugh.
It's so hard.
So it's very interesting when the three adults kind of like smile and start laughing. It's like, it was cute. He learned a lesson. It all worked out. Elizabeth was right.
Yeah. Do you think Constable Thornton will arrest me?
Oh, yes.
That's great. And he's like, not today.
I love that. It was great.
Will he throw me in jail? Not this time.
Not this time. I love it.
It was great. I loved it. And the whole parallelism with, you know, Boy Who Cried Wolf. Mm-hmm. Still a relevant story.
Very much.
Gotta love those fables.
Very much.
All right. Let's get to Jack. Ooh, he has a big storyline at the beginning of this episode. We see Collins from last episode. Yes. He offers him a new division, a new crime unit division up in the Northern
Territories.
They're having some issues up there. We know the
war,
is there. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts of Jack getting this job offer, but ultimately turning it down?
For Elizabeth. And the
was it just for Elizabeth?
I don't know. Part of me wondered if that was the right decision to make, because if he was given this opportunity, he didn't dive in a little bit more as to, like, what does it entail? You know, I think of the book series, like, wouldn't she go with him?
Yeah,
wouldn't that push for a wedding? Wouldn't that, you know?
You
so I don't know, part married. Of me, part, I think you have to listen to your instincts, and that was what his instinct said. He loves his town and the people there, ultimately, and then, of course, Elizabeth. But I think, in terms of career, what would that have done, you know, for him and all the work that he's put into his career. So I was a little torn in terms of, like, when I was watching that.
Interesting. I totally was, like, another relevant thing. Like, you have somebody you're in love with. It could be a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend, and you get a job offer that's possibly life-changing. Do you take it? It's going to take you away from that person. Or do they come with it? There's a whole big thing. And I remember when he told her, finally told her about it, her facial expression, his facial expression was kind of like, okay, like, she was waiting to hear what he was going to say, and then he said, I turned it down. I wrote a letter and turned it down.
He made a decision on his own.
I mean, on his own.
He did.
But, I mean, do you guys out there, do you guys feel, should he have talked to her about it through, or was this a fine way of, would you have been upset You hadn't said anything if it was your boyfriend or something?
I think ultimately it's his decision.
It is. Yeah. Because they're not married.
Yeah, technically they're not married.
So if they're married, then of course you should go to her and
especially in this time period. Okay. Yeah, in this time period. I think nowadays people are in relationships. They live together and they build lives together without a ring, which is, you know, that's just the sign of the times. But in this time period, I mean, you didn't do that with someone.
Folks are like, okay, no, folks are like, he should have, Kinsey Morris, he should have talked to her. Emily Thibault says, the storyline is not over. He's regretting. Mm. People say they think he's regretting it. It's a bit faster explanation.
I was going to ask you that, because when they're walking outside the saloon before they go into the meeting at night, and he says, you know, my life is here, you're here, Elizabeth, and then she walks in. But you can see the look on his face. You can tell, like, maybe he's regretting it, or maybe he really wanted to do it, but he did ultimately just turn it down.
Marianne Klein says, I think she wouldn't have wanted to have influenced him like he was going to go away, possibly. So maybe it's good they didn't really. Because last time, of course, they talked, Elizabeth said go. So it's bringing up.
Yeah, I think she would have been, I think in her, for her character, she would have supported him.
I think so, too. Her character, I think
that's
Elizabeth,
what I think, yeah.
She would have been sad, of course, if he left without her for a while.
We all would have been.
but it was interesting. I think maybe storyline's not over. I mean, it's still, we only got 8 episodes to go, right?
I have a prediction.
Yeah. Prediction. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! By the way,
she's back, guys.
back to the predictions. I didn't get to see the whole preview because I had recorded and it cut off.
It's a good preview, though.
Are you watching the Oscars? It's okay.
I was taking care of a small human, and so and he distracted me from life. He thinks his bedtime is 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So you didn't see the whole preview.
So I didn't get to see the whole preview.
It's a good preview, though.
It is a good preview. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But he's staying. Mm-hmm. We're happy.
For now.
I loved his moment when he's talking to Team Flomo, Florence and Molly.
Yes.
In U.S. Mercantile, and convincing them to go home and lock the doors and wait until you hear from me. Just put them off to the side. They give me anxiety.
Hilarious. They're hilarious.
Those two together, they're funny, but they bring a nervous energy that's just not healthy.
They said it's online, Marie. You can watch it online, the preview, Emily Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
I did like that Bill, again, your buddy Bill was on this episode, had his kind of few moments, I heard you got that offer from Collins, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of he was the male perspective again, this is a good opportunity, I hope you're thinking about it. And so it's kind of, I wish he could have talked to Lee, because they're best friends, and there was no Lee.
Well, Lee was gone this episode.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's out of town.
Yeah.
Getting more
deals made.
I think this brings us to the railroad story.
There we go.
So I got a lot to say.
Lee gets his contract.
Look at that segue.
So good, Marissa Serafini.
Like we've done this before. So he gets his contract, and he has to go out of town, go to Union City, get all of his equipment. Double production, which is good. Good for the town, but do you think this will actually be good for the town, the railroad? And now it's causing way more problems.
Yeah.
Jed is so unhappy. He's angry. This is the first time I really saw someone blow up on when Cole Summer or something. And I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, for me...
more bees with honey.
The big storyline, the big thing for me was I can relate to this literally, because in my town, we literally have a train coming through my town, through my neighborhood in Inglewood. We have a metro train coming through, and they tried to buy me out of my house. And I have a huge yard. I garden. So when he was talking about he's a farmer, I'm like, I totally like, I actually garden. When are we going to find that big space again in L.A. somewhere else? Not at all. For the amount I'm paying and what I got. So this episode, really, again, as a male, again, I'm feeling male again, really spoke to me of, I don't uproot me and my brother and my Scrabble and, have to go somewhere else. And I like, so we had to go through a lot of town meetings, too, actually. So this episode, again, it's expansion. The train's going to really help the town. It's going to help my town also, because it's going to go to the airport. I really related to this whole thing. It was like, oh, my God. And this Ray guy, he is something else. We're gonna talk about that as we get deeper into the storyline. But he's something else. I'm worried. I wouldn't trust him.
Well, we see that Jed. Well, people are speculating that Jed was the one who set the.
I don't think he did it.
He set it on fire. I have a prediction about that.
Me too. Me too.
I do not. Probably. Because I think he did it.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, part of me thinks he. Okay, don't hate me, you guys. Don't send me any hate tweets.
We're giving our opinions.
This is our opinion. Yes. My opinion. You know, I speak for everyone on the panel. when it comes to this whole railroad thing,
yes.
It's like you. I feel like this about so many things and topics of, like, for instance, you know, gay marriage right now. The way you look at it, and I'm not to get, like, political, but, like, right. I think we need to, as a society, evolve. Yes. And so that's, you know, our look at something like that. So then you look at evolution and the progression and how to progress in society. Mm-hmm. And do you want this town, in order for it to progress, you have got to make sacrifices. And I don't want to say at the risk of someone else, because they're offering him all these things. And yes, this is his livelihood. But I don't know. I feel like I'm so torn, because I feel like the town itself, it's like either you move or you don't. Like, you right. can't just keep, you're going right. to stay in the same space doing the same things. And so it's all about what you want. And I think it's smart to be progressive and to be accepting of the changing of the times. And that was my opinion on it. Don't hate me. I don't want to put this farmer out of work, and this is his livelihood, and this is his land. And I think, you know, if any of us watch Gone with the Wind, we know how much land matters.
Yes.
Land does matter. And, yes, you know, there's so much of your time. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm torn as a viewer in terms of, like, what I wanted for me just as a viewer watching it. But yeah. I just think of, like, as a town, as a parent, as somebody who I'm like, you have to progress.
Well, like Yost was saying, they're going to offer you this. But I'm like, not all money is good money. And I learned that's my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So some things that seem good may not really be good for you.
True.
So where he's at, it's like, going to be a really big debate. And everybody here's debating, too.
Yeah, that's okay. Debating. It's don't like, hate me, though.
Nobody's hating you so much. No. There's a debate, because it's one of those things where they're like, you have to progress. But then at what cost? As I said at the top of the hour, at what cost do you progress? And I know for me, in my neighborhood, they got rid of, from Eminent Domain, they got rid of all these buildings I grew up with. My childhood's gone, basically.
Aww.
But on some level, it's going to really bring in new... it's tough. And I really think this town really has to think about that. And even though Abigail had another way for the thing to go, she had an offer... she presented a proposal to him, saying,
which I think terrible that they should be willing to do that. That's where it's like, okay.
Well, that's also what, like, really just frustrated me about watching this, when she proposed a really good alternative route to go north.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, that'll just create more financial problems. It's like, we'll spend the money.
Yes, that's where I think it's ridiculous. That's where
they weren't willing to... It's doable. That's the problem. They didn't say that they couldn't do it. They just didn't want to do it. I'm like, well, if you really want to get this done, you'll do it.
Yeah.
But isn't that such a male thing?
It becomes ego.
Ego.
Yeah.
It's the thing, well, no, we know what's best, and we're in charge, so...
No. And that's also what was frustrating.
Tell him, girl.
I'm not too sure about Ray, you guys.
Me neither.
But he's so pretty.
And him and Faith look cute together.
Don't trust the pretty ones.
I don't know. Well, I don't know about that.
well, okay.
Jack.
Ray.
Jack's pretty.
Ray said the line, my superiors. Like, he's not going to be happy with my superiors. He's the middle man. So, cut out Ray. Go. Let's go straight to the source. Because that's anything I learned in this industry. You go straight to the source. Ray is the middleman. He's just the one negotiating people and contracts and movements and on all that stuff. Get him out of here. Let's get the actual person who's in charge of this.
Well, Lindsay Lee kind of agrees with you. It's like, he's throwing all this money at Bill... to hire him, then they throw money towards his proposal.
I mean, 25% more just for Bill to do security on this railway.
Right.
So that says, like, money's not an issue.
No.
And that's the problem. When he said we can't go north because it's just going to cause more financial stuff for us, like, you can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very upset.
They're all, Jeanette's like, he's so pretty, he's the best line of the night, Maria.
He is pretty. I'm not denying that.
But no, he's really good looking. But the thing is, I liked him in Faith. They had a little chemistry thing going on. So he could be a good guy, a bad guy gone good later
Faith
or something.
Faith needs some love.
She needs some love. Yeah. She does. And I liked it with Wander. It's like, she's like, I don't know about him.
Elizabeth was a great wingwoman.
Yes, she was. but so back to the actual... the fire stuff. People in here are divided. They're saying they think Gowan did it. People are saying they think I think
Laura.
I was saying it could be Laura.
I was thinking Laura.
Me too, because she doesn't want anything to happen. And then some people think Ray did it. But I think it's too obvious that Ray would do it. I think it's kind of too obvious. But there's, and then some people think that Jed did it.
Ooh, Maria.
What if the railroad actually like did it, and then it looked like they framed him almost.
Right. Some people said that.
Because why were they not around?
It was just human error. I think Laura might have done it. Because, you know what? She knows the location. She's already upset. She told Elizabeth, like, I wish this railroad wouldn't go through her place. And she knows her father's upset. Yes. So, and Laura's, like, the perfect person.
I agree.
That you wouldn't expect because she's a child.
Well, they're like, no, not Laura.
I'm sorry.
I thought the same thing too.
But
I said the same too.
She's the perfect person who fits everything.
I know. People are saying Gowan, but it was, oh, Jess said, ooh, the Laura theory is good. She was very upset. She was very. She was really upset. She was very upset.
And the thing is, you wouldn't expect it because she's a kid.
No.
No, I'm not saying it's good for kids to create arson.
Marissa watches Criminal Minds and stuff.
I watch like very dark stuff, you guys, on the flip side of the show.
Oh my god, I'm so like, I don't watch any of that, so I'm like, there's no way she did it. There's no way. To be determined.
It'd kind of be great if it was Laura.
Cleo and Jojo Official said, well, yes, because Roro was right there, but Laura is another good option.
Thank you. Mm. All right. Okay, so it really all comes down to this big major vote that Abigail's like, I can't choose, so I'm going to let the town choose for it. And it ends up being a tie anyways, and Abigail has to choose at the end.
Before we go to that, right before that, I love that the dilemma again, saying if you don't make a choice, when you're talking to her at first, the guy's talking to her at first, if you don't make a choice, it makes it like you're a weak mayor. And she's like, no. Is this for the town to figure? Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. It's like, men view this a certain way, where, again, women want to include and want to and make it more democratic.
Democracy.
How about Gowan in this? What a mean boy. I don't know. I want to call him something worse. That's all I can say.
He's in the shadows. Like he's been kind of like just in the shadows.
Yeah, but like I mean, he's. I don't know. I feel like he's like being like a puppeteer type thing. Like he's like under the surface. Yeah. You know.
But they won't hire him still. They still won't hire him.
Well, the thing is, like, there were so many moments. I don't know if you noticed. There were so many moments in this episode. He's just sitting on the sidelines, and he's just watching.
Towards
everything.
The end, they flashed to him. He's just like,
he's just watching everything. Mm-hmm. So, and I predicted it last week. It's like, I think Ray's going to end up listening to Gowan instead of Abigail.
Because now, especially because of now.
Now.
Because the way Ray looked at Abigail when she voted against him, I was like, oh my goodness, it's so good! And Lawrence. And he shook his head and walked out. I was like,
that town meeting was good.
That town meeting was good. Oh my god, I loved it.
Progressive.
It like gave me anxiety. I get really like, when it comes to politics and all these things, I get so like, that's why I keep saying don't hate me. But but no, it's just watching it, because being in such a close space and with people with such different views on things, it just makes it have so much tension.
Yeah. I thought it was, again, realistic. I kind of liked it. And men feel one way. But it's going to be a good showdown. Like I said, this season has so many good storylines for potential throughout the story. Like, there's just so many.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good one, too, because Ray, he's pissed. He's not happy about it.
Oh, no. Ray, he was. Yeah.
He
was
not.
This was good.
And even, like, his viewpoint on Abigail, even before this meeting, when he's talking about the railroads, like, Gowan services don't come cheap. We'll take our chance up with the little lady.
Yep.
Yeah. And so then they're saying in the chat, condescending towards women, because he also sent her flowers. Like, he would never do that to a man.
Yeah,
that's what Laura was saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, Lori.
I don't like Ray. His condescension's not a good quality to have, especially running this railroad.
But it is realistic for that time period. I mean, it's just kind of funny that he's doing this. I mean, we don't like him so far as a character, but it's realistic.
It's realistic. It's not acceptable.
Yeah.
She just said,
I love it.
Check him.
I love it.
I love it, too. Anything else?
I'm trying to think. Let me see. There's a couple of things I think I wanted to kind of...
Oh, I have one.
You're a girl.
Okay. Bill, when he's talking to Rosemary, said that, I can't remember the name that he used. He said so-and-so is has eyes for the new barber. I'm like, there's a barber.
Yeah,
I complained all last season about there was like, they all have to get their hair cut somehow.
You know,
and there's no barber.
You know what's funny? Because I thought about you when you mentioned this barber. Team Flummo would be great as beauticians.
Oh, yes, completely.
Because, like, the town gossip, they know everybody.
Oh, yeah,
they
talk.
They would be the best beauticians in that area.
But back in that time, I believe that men would get their hair and their face shaved by another man. It would generally be a barber.
Yeah, it would be a man.
Well, give the women something to do. We're talking about progressive town. That's progressive.
They do.
Yes.
Also, I liked... there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. I was like, I went blank. Oh, when Ray also did mention, because this is something that Maria brought up a long time ago, about increasing the infirmary. when they do the railroad. Because here's what, it should be somebody, it should be like another hospital or something. So you say somebody increases, we need something bigger because the town can get bigger.
Expand, yeah. Like the railroad has no problem of expanding the infirmary. So sure, they have money. They just don't want to go north and spend more money on doing this alternative route, which is really frustrating.
They don't want to. It's ego, and they think they know best, and that's that.
Well, they think, like, literally they can steamroll this town.
Right.
Yeah, which is not okay.
They're putting up a fight, which I love.
They're all flow and have too much access to way too much info. That's pretty funny.
I love the moment where... Sorry, we're just kind of bouncing all around now. I love the moment where we had Elizabeth and Abigail. They're talking at the cafe, and they found out that Bill hired...
Oh, my God.
And then Abigail's she walks up. Did what? And then Elizabeth's like, I'm just going to eat my cookie.
Okay. And then Rosemary comes up and insults her menu, and it's like, we should do a better menu. And even though her thing with the quail did sound good. The mince of stuff, it sounds good to me, actually. I like quail.
Her face
was so funny. But then later, when she talked to Bill, it was kind of playful. And she was like, should I fire her? He goes, oh, that's fine. Of course not, don't fire her.
I love the relationship between Abigail and Bill.
Even though, you know, I always see chemistry through them.
I know. Well, and they were walking, partners. You know, when they were walking together, and she, like, hits him, and she's like, But I just thought they were so cute.
But what was interesting, though, was seeing we saw another side of Father Frank, because when Bill came in,
God bless America.
Yeah, God bless America and cheese and crackers. He was just like, you can leave now. It's time to go. Like he was not happy. He was there talking to Abigail, and Abigail was there. It was an interesting scene to see them talking.
The men got really heated in this episode.
We saw
Jed yell. We saw Gowan and Pastor Frank go at it. It got heated with the men. Surprisingly so.
Yeah, because Gowan isn't a nice guy anyway, and of course, and Frank, but when Gowan says to Frank, I wouldn't take any advice from a convicted felon, bringing up Frank's past. Like, ooh, that's shady. It's some shade. Shade. Kelly's with me. Abby Bill. Is that their shipping name? They have chemistry still. I think they still have chemistry. Even though I like her with Frank.
I like her with Bill.
Oh, Pastor Frank. Father Frank. Oh, sorry. I meant Pastor Frank. I'm sorry. Frank. They're yelling at me. I grew up Catholic, too.
Father
I'm sorry.
I grew up Catholic.
I'm sorry.
Are we
sorry.
All Catholics?
None of us taught that, either. We're like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic. I used to have to go to Spanish Mass, so trust me, I understand. I do.
My dad teaches catechism.
That's really okay. Yeah.
And confirmation.
Yes. Jessica, they have better chemistry. Oh, interesting. All the men protecting their men, their women. That's right. The men want to protect their women. They want to protect their women. They want to.
They do. So much happened in this
episode. Also, Yost was mad too. Remember? They're saying they're surprised that Yost was screaming too. Usually he's pretty neutral. He was screaming at Jen.
Yeah, I put that... Sorry, we're running out of time.
We're going to stay here for the rest of our lives. We're staying.
I know, I wish. I put that in my notes too. I was like, we saw Yost yelling outside and making a public spectacle, which is so out of character for him. Like, every time we see him, he's nice, he's welcoming, he's one of the biggest customer services people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it. They're showing different sides of the people. They're making them very dimensional.
Or
so I like that.
The railroad is bringing out the worst in people.
That too? We're still dimensional. I mean, still bring up dimensional, but that could be it too.
Because they were fighting about the railroad.
I know, right. Because Yost thought he should take the deal.
Yeah.
That's just like, well.
I mean, on the surface, it is a pretty good deal. Bigger land, and you have a job at the railroad.
But he can't farm. He's not a railroader. Rail worker. He said railroad worker. I'm just pretty. He made a good point. He's like, I'm not that guy. For me, I've had jobs I turned out because that's not what I want to do. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm meant to do blank, not blank. Hello, blank.
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 Yeah. Okay.
What was that? Maybe he set the fire. Yost?
No.
That'd be a shock, but I don't think he did.
I hope we find out next episode. Well, it's going to make me crazy.
I feel like it was someone who'd be actually angry at this event.
It's time for predictions.
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. She's like...
Not yet. Hold it.
She's exciting.
Okay, let's get to a little bit of news.
We're just like, these people are crazy out of control.
I know. We all drank our coffees today, obviously.
I did not, actually. Maybe that's the problem.
Oh, you didn't? I had like 6 cups.
And we're crazy, not you. We're not bringing your ear.
It's super ADD. Yes. All right. So, of course, we have a lot of Hardys who actually do interviews and stuff. But yes. Shout out to our good Hardy friend, Ruth Hill. She did a great interview with Aaron Krakow.
Oh. Yes, she did.
And it's fairly lengthy. You can find it at mydevotionalthoughts.net. Go look up
nice.
Aaron Krakow, When Calls the Heart. It's excellent interview.
I read it.
Thank you, Ruth Hill. But a little snippet of it, and it just talks to Aaron and like the whole idea of getting to know the Hardys after, you know, all the social media that's involved with the show. And Aaron says, you know, it's funny, whether it's at home and family or Hardy's family reunion or just online, there are some of you whom I already feel I have a personal connection because of the interaction we have on Twitter or Instagram. There is already a friendship there, so it's always fun to meet them in person or talk to them on the phone or get to know them a little bit better. It's like it's the beauty of social media and technology because you couldn't have that.
I know.
Back then.
That's what I told James. I'm like, ever since this new season started, I get texts on my phone about Twitter every single day, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
And then the whole idea of Aaron being a role model for women and young adults in general. She says, first of all, it's an honor to be called a role model. I really appreciate that. It feels like a compliment, and I just say thank you, and I appreciate it. I guess I didn't realize I would be taking on that responsibility necessarily, and it's not one that I take lightly. I work with kids. I was a nanny, and I love kids, and I think it's very important to set good examples for them, so I do take that seriously.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. And it does show, because when you are in the public spotlight like that, it's hard to like truly be yourself, but also remember so many people are watching you.
Yes.
So good on you, Aaron. We love you.
We do love you. Thanks for being you, Aaron.
Yes. And she says that. She says that. Just be authentic for who you are and be true to yourself.
Yes. And thanks to Erin for all the tweeting of our show.
I know.
She literally tweets at us on our show. I'm like, we love you so much, Erin.
Yeah, she's going to come back at some point.
She's going to come back.
She's coming.
Yeah.
She's coming.
I have to beg for her.
Yes, you do.
She
said that.
I was so excited.
You understand. I love that. Erin, we told Maria priorities.
Yes.
Priorities.
Yes.
We're very excited for it when she finally does come back.
She brought it up.
All right. So let's get to predictions.
Homegirl
here's
ready.
Woo!
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I can't do the deep voice, but I can do the woo. Can I just do a little shout out? Jeanette, she just tweeted out that, I shouldn't say just, she tweeted out last week when I was on Home and Family, just to all the Hardys. So Jeanette, you are so amazing.
Aww,
I appreciate you all of the time. So thank you for that and your support. You have my heart. And so my prediction. Okay, so this is what I think. This is the part of the preview that I actually did see.
Yes.
It's like all the trouble up north.
Yes.
What if the trouble up north is what they came and did the fire? Nobody? Nothing?
Well, I mean, the stretch would be...
So you think it's a complete outside source that started the fire?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know. I just, you know.
It's,
and it's going to be very interesting, well, only because I saw this part in the preview, but seeing Pastor Frank and Abigail, because she's questioning his, I guess,
questioning devotion
him, everything, because, like, what kind of person he is, because he's, like, gets up and goes with them to get the guys up north.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? If I am right... You guys got to give me something. I just got blank
stares. Give you a shout out.
I need a hug or something. Okay, what are your predictions?
I know. It's like
James, your thoughts, your predictions.
Well, just my prediction is that this is going to get worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. And I think Ray and Faith are going to go on a date. I think Faith's going to get invested in Ray.
Ah.
And she is, and that's going to cause conflict. No. It's going to cause conflict. She was hurt before, but it's going to happen again. I think something's going to happen there. I think so.
But why does she have to always be with condescending men?
I don't know.
Even the first guy.
I know.
I can't even remember his name because
he's
not important.
He was not important.
I just hope not.
Unless a good woman changes his ways. Love a good woman.
I say, Ray, get out of here. I say, for my prediction, because they're like kind of going off. Yours,
no,
but
nobody
really
agrees with me. Who in the chat's like, but no. I'll take it.
They
go, you need to see the rest of the preview, Maria.
The problem's in the Northern Territory. Uh-oh. We know it's 1914.
Yes.
World War One starts.
Yes, I know.
They're currently in the spring, and World War One starts in August. So if this, like, I predict this is a far future, at the end of the season, Jack might have to get relocated against his will to be a part of this war.
Oh, wow.
He might have to leave.
Interesting.
I think either way, he's going to become part of this war.
What?
Wait, you just censored yourself?
I was like, that's fine.
And you know what?
Oh, okay.
That would push off the engagement even more, which means we have more seasons of When Calls the Heart. There you go.
Oh, okay. We tied to that. Okay, that's fine. And you did it in 0 seconds.
Yes. And so are we.
No!
Great episode.
No!
Great episode.
I know.
We're getting kicked out. Where can everyone keep following you?
You can find me at Maria Provenzano on Twitter, and all of my information will be there.
You can follow me at James Law Jr. on all social media platforms. You know I do the soap shows on Sundays. Some of you guys watch my soap shows, of course, and we do them every Sunday for you guys.
People are, like, not happy with my production.
Oh, boy, the heavy Marissa. That's the joke I do, Marissa.
Yeah, I'm
Marissa did the mic drop.
I mean, someone has to.
Everyone's like, no.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to our after show. Obviously, we love this show.
We love you.
Big fans. Keep
tweet
spreading
us your predictions.
The love. Tweet us your predictions. We want to keep talking to you. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. Keep watching the show, and we'll see what happens. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.